Okay. Evening, everyone. Good to see you, those who are in the building. Thanks for joining, people who have joined online. We're in Proverbs. I'm about to read God's word to us. And there's five different Proverbs we're going to read. They're dotted around throughout the book. The ones we're going to focus on are in chapters 14, 15, and 16. So if you've got a Bible in front of you, those would be worth having open in front of you, chapters 14, 15, and 16. But they all also will pop up on the screen as we need them as well. So first one is Proverbs 14, verse 29 to 30, which says, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot." The next Proverbs is chapter 15, verse 1, and it says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Proverbs 15, verse 18 says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention." Proverbs 16, verse 32 says, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." And then 19, verse 1 says, "Better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool." It's a big topic tonight. Let me pray for us, and then we'll think about God's word. Father, thank you that as we've had read to us, and we've sung about, you are a God who is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And Father, this is an area of life in which we all need your mercy. We all need to be more patient as you are patient with us. So pray that we know your mercy and love, and pray that as we are confronted by the challenges of your word, that you would change us to make us more like Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. Well, this current series we're in is called Questions for Life. And what we're doing is we're taking topics that are common to us all, topics that are really common in life, and thinking, how do we live wisely in these areas? Because wisdom is what the book of Proverbs is all about. How do we live well in God's world in topics like anger? Anger is something that is common to every single one of us. Maybe in the last few days you've reacted angrily to something someone's done, maybe a family member, maybe a friend. Maybe today you've driven down Ashton Old Road and seen or experienced anger in some way as you've driven. I have, just about 10 minutes ago. I was reflecting this week how many places in our society, when you go in, have screens. So you go into the post office, there's a screen in front of the person working there. You go onto the bus and there's a screen in front of the driver. You go to the dentist and the receptionist has a screen in front of her. And that's because anger is a common thing in our society, and those screens are there for protecting people. People get angry at the referee in football, even though on the face of it, and I say this as a football lover, football doesn't mean that much, people get really angry when the decision goes against their team. There's lots to be angry about in the news at the moment. You don't have to look very far to see people getting angry on social media. A story hot off the press is Matt Hancock having a bit of a shocker over the last few days. And people were quite rightly angry that he's broken the social distancing laws. But perhaps what's even more striking is that people were more angry about that than the fact he's been unfaithful to his wife. Anger is something that is really common. It's a complex emotion, and so it's important we think well about how to deal with it as Christians. What kind of things should make us angry? Or is it just completely wrong to be angry, full stop? And when we do get angry, how should we deal with it? So today we're thinking about anger, and our question is simply, how do we deal with it? And I think across these five Proverbs, we're presented with two particular contrasts by God's word that I'd love us to explore together. Contrast number one is we are to be slow and not hasty to anger. And contrast number two is we're to be soft and not harsh. Slow and not hasty, soft and not harsh. Let's take those one by one. Firstly, we're to be slow to anger and not hasty. The first proverb we read says, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." And I think what this proverb shows is that being slow to anger leads to a right anger. Notice that it says, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding." You see, the wise person is slow to anger because they take time to understand the situation. And therefore, the person who is slow to anger is not someone who never gets angry, but someone who knows what to be angry at. So being slow to anger, I think, leads to a right anger, because there are times when it's right to be angry. And I think it's right to be angry when we are angry at what God is angry about. What's God angry about? God's angry when his name is mocked and his glory is stolen and his world is mistreated. And he's also angry, more specifically, when the people he created fail to honor one another and instead abuse and shame and mistreat one another. So there are times when it's right to respond in anger. Here's an example. It's an imaginary example. But imagine I get home and my house is empty. And I look around the house and no one's in. I search all the bedrooms, search the basement, search the garden. No one's there. I phone Beth, no answer. And then I see a note on the table saying, "Your family have been taken. You need to pay me £10,000 to get them back." If I reacted in that moment and said, "Great, quiet night in, going to get the lads round, watch the Euros, have a beer," what would that say about my relationship with my family? That would say I don't love my family. That would say I don't care about their well-being. If that situation really happened, I pray it doesn't, if that situation happened, I would expect to be angry, because I love my family, I care for them, and I want them back. Love is not the opposite of anger. The opposite of anger is indifference. And there are times when reacting in anger can be the most loving thing to do in that situation. But even if the situation means that anger is the right response, we still need to know how to react well, how to handle our anger in the right way. And this verse gives us a guide in calling us to be slow to anger. It's calling us to stop and think about the situation and ask, what am I actually angry about here? What are the motivations of my heart? What is it that actually has made me feel this way? What is it that needs to be done to sort this situation out? I read a quote this week that said, "Anger is often a starting gun that leads us to leap from the blocks, consume, control, and destroy. Instead, anger should be a starting gun that calls us to sit down and think." Don't know about you, but that's countercultural. That's a challenge to me. That can involve holding our tongue in the heat of the moment. That can involve holding back an angry reaction. That can involve stopping and thinking before I fire off that text at someone who's annoyed me slightly, or write that social media post to give my valued opinion. It involves perhaps not trying to win the argument, not trying to destroy the person, but looking to bring peace and resolution. Tim Keller says, "While anger in itself, when prompted rightly, is not a sin, it should be a passing thing directed without excess to solve a problem, resulting in calm at the end." That's what it looks like to be slow to anger. Don't know about you, but I'm not slow to anger very often, or at least not as I should be, not as much as I should be. We are so often hasty to jump into anger, aren't we? We're so quick to jump into the fray. But as verse 13, chapter 14, verse 30 even says, "Those who have hasty temper exalt folly," which means promote foolishness. This verse is saying the foolish person responds in haste. The foolish person responds in rage rather than understanding. The foolish person is quick to flare up and slow to consider what's going on. Why is that bad? I think it's bad because it leads to destruction. It leads to breakdown in relationships. It leads to people feeling hurt. It's never constructive. And when we're hasty to anger, we usually miss the thing we're actually angry about and end up being angry about other things. And it doesn't actually constructively fix the situation. What's at the core of hasty anger? Me. Or for you guys, you're at the core of your hasty anger. It's always self that is at the core of hasty anger. We become hasty in anger when we are overly focused on what's discomforting me, what's causing me inconvenience, what's got in the way of what I want to do, or this personal situation has not met my desires. Here are four symptoms of hasty anger. And they're all things that I've done and do, and I'm sure they're things which you'll be able to relate to. Four symptoms of hasty anger: silly arguments, self-preservation, self-care, self-justice. Firstly, silly arguments. Sometimes Beth and I will have a bit of a disagreement, a bit of a Barney. Rarely. No, and we'll get to the end, and it'll be about an hour later, and we'll be like, can you even remember what we were arguing about? Can you even remember what we were disagreeing about? And I'll be like, no. And that shows that what we were arguing about wasn't really that important, and it shows that what we were disagreeing about, we were probably more focused on ourselves than the actual situation. That's a symptom of hasty anger. Second symptom of hasty anger is self-preservation. When I just after I'd finished school, I worked for a year as a pudding chef in a pub in Lincoln, doing the ice cream sundaes, putting food into microwaves. Top job. And I used to work for a really angry boss, Gordon Ramsay style. He would go into fits of rage if my ice cream sundae wasn't the right shape or if I had forgot to put the chocolate sprinkles on top. And the thing is, he wasn't even that bothered about the customer. He wasn't bothered about me improving at my job. He wasn't bothered about the establishment, the pub doing well. He was fussed about his reputation. He kept always said, I've got a reputation to think of. He wanted to become well known so he could progress up the career ladder and that people would think well of him. Sometimes we're hasty to anger, not because of the situation, but because what that situation might do to our reputation. Because we're worried about what people might think of us. So we've got silly arguments, self-preservation, and then thirdly, self-care. And this is when we're not that bothered about the situation. Or what we're most bothered about is when our desires haven't been met. Or when I've been inconvenienced in some way. And when I find myself doing that, I think the root is that I sometimes over-personalize the anger. Or I add motives on that aren't actually there. An example, fresh off the press this week is in my life, is Poppy learned a new skill this week, which was climbing out of the cots. Which, as I'm sure you can imagine, we were thrilled about. And to be honest, that evening, I was watching TV, and she appeared in the living room. I was like, what's going on here? And I got quite cross and grumpy by the end, because we put her back, she climbed out, she came downstairs, rinse and repeat. And I was getting grumpy, and I was like, why is this is so annoying? And that's because she was getting in the way of me having a quiet evening. And in my mind, I was putting that on her in that moment. It wasn't her motive. She wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to go and mess up Dad's Netflix session. She was thinking, this is fun. I'm going to do it again. But in that situation, I made it all about me. I made it about her disrupting my plans, her getting in the way of my comfort. And because of that, on reflection, I got overly grumpy, and I also actually missed what was really going on. Because even though she's small, there's a little disobedient heart in there that says, I'm going to do what I want to do because I want to do it. And my job as she grows up is to help her understand that and help her to see that more and more. And if I miss that, if I become more all about me, then it will become just her changing her outward actions to please me. Because it's not sinful to climb out of a cot. There's nothing in the Bible that says don't climb out of cots. But it's that her action comes from a sinful motivation and a sinful heart. And whether you're 2, whether you're 20, whether you're 90, we all need to know this. We all need to remember this. We all need help in this. And if we are hasty to anger with our loved ones and the people around us, if we're all about self-care, if I'm all about fixing the people around me so they fit with my desires, then I'm not going to be able to help the people around me do that work. The people around me aren't going to be able to help me do that work. We won't be able to help bring about change in each other's lives if we're all about self-care. And the last symptom of hasty anger is self-justice. And that is basically sometimes we just get angry because it makes us feel powerful. We want to, in that moment, get on our high horse and tell people the way it should be. We often get like this when we phone up a utility company. And actually, we're more interested in just giving people an earful than we are about actually fixing the situation. We're more interested in being a judge than actually sorting out the situation. When we're hasty to anger, we allow our desires to dominate. I get angry because things aren't meeting my desires, my interests. And actually, in that moment, that puts me in a position of weakness. Because that moment, I'm not in control, but I'm allowing myself to be dictated to by what I feel or the circumstance. And this means I'm not going to affect good change in that situation. The impact I make is going to be nothing at best, and at worst, it's going to be destructive to my relationships and to the situation. But in Proverbs 16, verse 32, it says, if that can come from the screen, thanks, Laura. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Being slow to anger puts us in a position of strength because it allows us to consider and have understanding. It allows us to consider what's going on in the situation and what needs to be corrected so we might lovingly affect change, speak into that situation, act with integrity, and be agents of healing and restoration. When we're slow to anger, we're able to truthfully yet lovingly communicate, this is how you've hurt me. This is what I think you've done, which is wrong. I would love it if you changed in this way. And equally, we're able to take those things on board, all the better. So being slow to anger is an act of strength because it takes strength to be able to gain control of your emotions, and it takes strength to then honestly and lovingly communicate that to people. And you're better than he takes a city is saying you're able to affect change, you're able to bring about positive influence. So when I feel angry, I need to train myself to sit down and ask why. Is it because God's glory is being stolen? Is it because someone he's made being mistreated? Or am I angry actually over something that doesn't really matter? Something that in 2 hours I'm not actually going to be fussed by? Or am I just worried about my reputation? Or is it just because I'm being a bit inconvenienced at this time and someone's just getting in the way of what I want to do? Or maybe I just want to give someone an earful. It's a high call to be slow to anger. But why would we even want to be slow to anger? I think because being slow to anger is the only way to know true peace in the midst of anger. Because being slow to anger gives you the time and space to hand over the situation to another person, to the infinitely more righteous God. The God who delivered you through Christ and will deliver you again, who can bring hope into any situation. Proverbs 14:30, after talking about being slow to anger, says a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh. This tranquil heart comes from being slow to anger and allowing yourself to bring your problems to God, who is wise and fair and good, and trust that he will do what is best. Trust that he can bring about peace. And we can trust him to help us in our anger. Trusting God helps us in our anger because we can know that God will never let any wrong go. No wrong in this life will be merrily swept under the carpet. Every wrong in this life will face justice from God. God won't let anything fall. He won't let anything, any wrong that's done to us just be swept under the carpet. So that can bring us peace. Every wrong in this world will either face punishment in hell or on the cross of Jesus Christ. And so giving over the situation to God helps free us from a desire for revenge, because God is the one who has promised to deal with sin. He says, vengeance is mine, and we can trust him to fairly and rightly deal with what is wrong in the world and the wrongs that are done to us. Entrusting our anger to God helps us to not put ourselves above others, because the gospel puts us all on a level playing field. I'm no better than the next person, because I too have sinned against God. And I too have wronged others. And, and we all are deserving of judgment from God. So who am I to sit on my high horse and judge others? And also, entrusting our anger to God gives us the power to forgive, because God has forgiven me way more than I'll ever have to forgive anyone else. Ultimately, we're to be slow to anger because God is slow to anger with us. God is patient and fair. On the other hand, if we're not slow to anger, we won't have tranquil hearts. We will not be able to know peace. Our hearts will be restless. Our hearts will be sleepless. Our hearts will be stressed, consumed, and bitter. I wonder if you've ever had it where you're grumpy and cross and it stopped you going to sleep at night. If we're not slow to anger, we will lose out on this promise of a tranquil heart from Proverbs 14. In community groups, we've been looking at the story of Esther, which has been great fun. What a crazy story. And there's one guy who's almost the pantomime villain of the story called Haman. And he hates God's people. And he hates a particular guy called Mordecai. Now, life's good for Haman materially. He is the king's right-hand man. He has wealth. He has power. He has privilege. He's luxury. He has family around him. He has everything that the world might consider good. Yet there's one moment that struck us this week in our community group in chapter 5, where he comes out of a banquet, full up on food and drink, living the good life, and then he sees Mordecai. And he says words to the effect of, "I can't enjoy anything in life until I see Mordecai dead." And he begins to plan Mordecai's execution. Now, this is an extreme example, but the point is, if you let anger consume you, it saps life from you. It gets in the way of your enjoyment of the good things in life. Haman had fostered and nurtured anger in his heart so that it had control of him, so that he couldn't rest until he had his revenge. He couldn't enjoy what he had in life. And the root of this is being quick and hasty to anger. It all came from the moment when Mordecai refused to bow down to him and he flew into revenge and plotted to destroy Mordecai and the Jewish people. But the irony of all that, in his campaign of death, it was him losing out on life. That's the call, to be slow to anger, to understand the situation, to give our anger to God, because it will bring us peace. And now lastly, and much quicker, the second call of these Proverbs is that we would be soft and not harsh. And what's in focus here is our words. And it's important to think about words because, if not the primary way, they are one of the primary ways that we express our anger. Our anger most commonly comes out in the words that we say to people. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." The point here is that angry words create more anger. Tim Keller says, a single harsh word can be a spark to stir up a blazing fire of rage. The word harsh just means painful. In arguments, we can use our words in two ways. We can either use them to speak truth and make the truth clear, which in itself can be painful, or we can speak specifically to inflict pain to who we're talking to make the other person feel foolish or bad. Don't know about you, often we tell ourselves it's motive number one, but actually when we really consider it, we often are motivated by the second. And we need to be so careful, because one harsh word can destroy a relationship or create bitterness that lasts a long time. A soft answer, as described in this proverb, is speaking patiently, tenderly, as affirmatively as possible, and always calmly. Doesn't mean we don't speak truthfully. Often we can swing between two extremes. Sometimes we speak softly. Those of us who are better at speaking softly often struggle to speak the truth. And maybe we bottle up our anger and it leads to bitterness, and then it all comes out in one big moment. Or perhaps we just tell people what we want to hear. Often, some people can swing to that extreme. The other extreme is that we're very good at giving the truth, but it often comes harsh or in anger. But we're called to speak the truth in love, to be sensitive yet honest. So as we finish, how can we use our words well in situations that make us angry? We want to be slow to anger, but then I think we want to speak words of honesty, healing, and hope. We want to speak honestly. We're called to speak the truth. It's helpful to tell people, well, this situation has hurt me because this is where I think that there needs to be change. We want to speak honestly. But also we want to speak with the motivation of healing. Words that will bring about change. Words that will change things for the better and not look to just hurt or damage. Words that say, it'd be really helpful if this changed, not you're a horrendous person, you're awful. I think hopefully you can see the contrast. Honesty, healing, and we want to speak words of hope. Words that offer the hope of forgiveness through the gospel. Words that offer Jesus Christ. Words that hold open the door for restoration because of the salvation we have. Honesty, healing, hope. Would we be people that speak like that into difficult situations? Let me pray for us. God, we thank you again that you are the God who is slow to anger and rich in love. God, I am so often hasty to anger, quick-tempered, and I know lots of us struggle with that. So whether we are outwardly angry a lot of the time or whether we bottle it all up, Lord, we want to repent of our sin. We want to say sorry for the times that we have used anger sinfully, that we've responded wrongly in our anger. And we ask that you'd make us more like Jesus, that we'd know your forgiveness, know your peace, and help us to give our anger to you, the God who judges justly, the God who has promised to not let any wrong go swept under the carpet. Lord, help us to know your forgiveness and know your peace, and we will be people that offer forgiveness and peace in our lives and in the way that we speak. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.